most amazing man alive. Police often question him just because they find him interesting. He once counted to infinity, twice. His picture is worth a billion words. He is both left-handed and right-handed. It only takes him 20 minutes to watch 60 minutes. He can't judge a book by its cover. He uses Tabasco sauce instead of Vicine. He can speak Braille. He once beat up the man who invented boxing. He once overthrew a third world dictator by making a single phone call. His barbecue ribs are so good, he was given a Nobel Peace Prize. People come from miles around just to watch his beard grow. He was turned down for the lead in Cool Hand Luke because he was too cool. He never asked for directions because he is never lost. He had to walk to school, uphill both ways in the snow, barefoot. There is no loofah in his shower. He uses an SOS pad. He has had a full-time job since he was two. He is not afraid of the dark. The dark is afraid of him. His favorite food is steak. Sometimes he even cooks it. He won the Pulitzer for a grocery list he scribbled out on a napkin. He once was named Man of the Year on January 11th. He does not lift weights. He cannot find any that are heavy enough. He knows what to do with a Klondike bar. He is the most amazing man alive. He is your father. Happy Father's Day, my friends.
Yeah, I thought that was fun. It's funny, you know. He doesn't use a loofah. He uses SOS pad. I love that one. Good one. So, hey, happy Father's Day to all of you amazing fathers out there. It is a special day, of course, and I do appreciate my father, of course. What a great time. And, of course, this is a time where we can share and talk about fathers and challenge fathers. And as I challenge you fathers today, I'm challenging myself. And as a father of four, as they grow and as they get bigger, and it's like, Nobody like tells us like how to do it, right? There's not a father's book. It's just like not out there. I've looked how to be a good father. Well, we just try our best and we fail. We make mistakes, but all we are expected to do is do our best. And so, as we think about fathers and in parenting in general, it's one of those interesting topics where we talk about being good parents, and it can be one of the toughest things in the world, but yet one of the most rewarding things is being parents. And so if we think about fathers, I was reading the other day, and there's a statistic out there that 18 million children are going throughout society in the United States without a father. Think about it. They don't know their dad. They don't know, they've just never had a father. And so understanding what that means, personally, I don't know. I had a great dad growing up. My wife, on the other hand, as you guys well know, never really knew her father and never was in her life. And so I can understand where she comes from and empathize with that. But 18 million fatherless children. And so, in fact, this article said that we are the number one nation in the world without fathers. So there's some interesting things going on. And so whether you are a person in here today that has had a great dad, whether you're a person in here today has had a lousy dad, Rachel said it best that we're all in this together because we've all have dads. We all have them. And yet, if we wonder what it would like to feel something different from our fathers, and I know as we talk and it's kind of been popularized as there's this father wound. You know, we can have a father wound in our lives, whether from our fathers, that maybe physically or even abuse in that way, or even just emotional. There's this thing called the father wound. And yet, as we're not going to really talk and get into that much, because I want to kind of remain positive a little bit this morning as we read in Scripture about really what it is to be a good father. And I pulled this small little passage from Proverbs chapter 17. And I found this passage to be quite interesting because this is in the Proverbs. If you read Proverbs a lot, there's some nuggets of wisdom and some amazing nuggets of truth here that we see that it's really, really easy to go through really fast. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6 says, "Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of sons is their fathers. Another version, another translation says, children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. Now, if you read that, and you read that as you're like, okay, cool. For those of you who are grandparents in here today, you're like, yep, that's me. Grandchildren are the crown of the age. And that's like a crown to our lives. We love our grandchildren. Amen. You know, and it's one of those things where you're like, yes, I'm so proud of my grandchildren. But we miss the second part sometimes of this passage. We miss the second part. It says, the glory of sons is their fathers. Another version, like I said the parents are the pride of their children. So what this means, what this is saying is that children grow up and look at you, mom and dad, and are proud. That's the goal. Like, children look to you and they look up to you, like literally and figuratively. Children, you are, or parents, you are the pride of a child. You are the glory, as like I said in the Revised Standard Version. You, parent, father, are the glory of your children. And so when I was reading this, I had to read this a few times to really grasp what this is saying. Really understanding that as we read these words, the picture of children looking at their parents because of the pride of their accomplishments. I remember as a kid, I was in my room. I mean, I remember this so vividly. I had a neighbor friend over. It was in my room, and we were just playing whatever. And the conversation starts, you know, well, my dad's lawnmower is faster than your dad's lawnmower. You remember doing that as a kid? And then, no. My dad's muscles are bigger than your dad's muscles. No, my dad's car is way faster and cooler than your dad's car. I remember having the same conversation. And as I read this pastor's scripture, this is exactly what I was displaying with my friend. I was so proud of my dad. I was so proud of my dad. He was my glory. Like, he was like everything. As I think of this passage of Scripture, we think of understanding what it means that children not only look up to you, mom and dad, but you are their pride. You are their glory. You are everything to them. Children, they're basking in this glory of their parents. They're the parents' greatness. As we read the book of Proverbs, we realize that hopefully you believe that it's true, right? These nuggets of wisdom, these statements, these sayings are very valuable. And so what I've decided to do is think about this in a way that it's kind of reversed. It kind of proved to me that, wait a minute, if I'm the glory of my children, shouldn't I act a little better as a dad? Right? I mean, if I'm the pride of my children, that kind of puts a little bit more pressure on me to do a better job. And as I was considering this week, I was thinking, wow, my kids look up to me. And how am I doing? Well, you could probably ask them. And they'd probably give me a letter grade of maybe, a C. Yeah, dad's fun once in a while, but makes us do stuff around the house and makes us clean our room, makes us get a job, all that stuff. You see, I look at myself, I'm saying, if there's so much there, according to the Bible, that we as parents are the glory, the pride of our kids, where are we going with this? And so it made me wonder. I'm thinking, Lord, I need to do better. Because if my kids are looking at me the way that the Bible says they're looking at me, yikes, I need to do better. But this it's not really, like I said, if you read this passage, it isn't a call. This isn't a proverb that simply says, children, you need to be proud of your parents. It's opposite. It's saying, children, you are proud of your parents no matter what. But the challenge for us is to be worthy of that honor, worthy of that pride, worthy of the glory. You know, all of our ultimate desires is to hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But we also want to hear our children say, "Well done, good and faithful father." Don't you? That's my goal. And so as we think that it puts the call upon us to live such lives of wisdom, righteousness, that our children are proud to be related to us. Now, I know some of you, like I said before, you could give or take your dad. Maybe he was a dirty old cuss that you just didn't even want to have anything to do with. That's gone. That's the past. What I want to talk to us today is about understanding who we are now, what we can be doing now as parents, as fathers. We need to live in such lives that we're seeking wisdom and imparting it into our kids, living in righteousness so that we could be the best people, best dads that we can be. Now for me, I can't do that alone. Because my best, my very best, in and of myself, really, really stinks. I'm lousy. I'm selfish. I want to do the things that I want to do. And so when I read this, when I'm challenged by this passage of scripture, I think, God, I need help. I need help. And so the way I can be the best dad that I can be is I can be in my word. I can be in the scriptures. I can be reading and learning and knowing God deeper and deeper. The best way I can be a father is the only way I can think of is my prayer life needs to be solid. My faith in God needs to be completely in Him. You see, the best thing that we can do today, dads, and when we think about this passage of scripture, is we can understand who our Heavenly Father is. We can know our Heavenly Father, and we can look to Him and understand that He's a God of love and a God of justice, a God of forgiveness. You see, if you're a parent, when you commit to living with godly character, you make it easy for those kids to look up to you and say, "Yeah, I'm proud of my dad, proud of my mom." You make it easy for them to live out life to say, "My dad, my mom was a godly person." You see, when I get old, my kids get older and they're adults, and the most thing I want to hear from them is not, "Oh, dad was cool. He took us on vacations. He was a great guy. He was funny, blah, blah, blah." I don't want to hear that. I want to hear them say, my dad was godly. My dad loved people, and my dad wanted to see people come to Jesus. You see, that's what I want my kids to say about me. I want my kids to grow up and say, "My dad was not just a pastor at church on Sunday morning, but he was a pastor at home." That's what I want to hear my kids saying. I'm not saying that's who I am. I'm working toward it. I'm working on it. I want it to be developed to where my kids someday can say, "Dad was a godly man." And so when we think about the living out that character, living out that time in our lives where we're raising kids, and not only just when we're raising kids, but as we're grandparents and we're parents to continuing our adult children, we've got to live out the calling that we're called to as parents, as fathers. Our calling is to be a Christ-like father, a faith-filled father. And so the challenges for me and the challenges for all of us in here today, who if you're a parent, so living out the calling and that character of a Christian, living a life that reflects the Bible and that's worthy of imitation. Because the facts is that kids imitate us, right? They imitate our every move. We were in our growth group class downstairs Sunday mornings, 9:30. The young adults, young marrieds, I like to include myself in that group. I'm the old guy in the room. But as the young marrieds, we've talked, we've been discussing things like what it means to be a good parent, all that fun stuff, and having a good marriage, blah, blah, blah. So I remember, Matt, I'm going to throw you under the bus, but I won't say your name. But Matt was talking about the fact, and we all share in this, Matt talks about the fact when when he's disciplining one of his boys and maybe being a little bit overly over the top, he only realizes when he does this when one of his other sons acts the same way. And Matt's like, wait a minute. You sound like somebody I know. Kids, they look at us, and they do what we do. And Matt, Hannah, you guys are awesome parents. You guys are great. You guys are doing a great job with those guys. And it's just so funny to realize, though, our kids are watching. Dads, your sons are watching. Dads, your sons are learning how to be men, exactly what kind of man you are. And see, for me, it's like I am constantly challenged. Am I living a life worthy of the glory and worthy of the honor and worthy of the praise that my children look at me? And so as we think about this passage, it really convicted me in my heart today. You see, we get it. Grandchildren are the crown of the age, right? We get it. When you're a grandparent, I don't have that opportunity yet. I don't have that privilege yet. But grandparents, you know, when you're a grandparent, your grandchildren, they're like a crown for you. But that second part of the parable or the proverb, it says, the glory of the sons is their father's. And so I don't know about you, but I want to live like that. I want to invite the band to come on up as we kind of close our time together. And I'm shortening our sermon this morning because, guys, I know our attention span is pretty short. So this is for you, fathers. I'll stop preaching now. No, but today I just wanted something simple for us. I wanted something simple because, guys, we need simple. I need simple. I need something that's simple for me to understand, that to realize that children are looking at you. Your kids are looking at you. And if I could take it one step further, which I love about this church, I love about our church, is that we are a family. We're the family of God. And men, other people's children are looking at you too. Did you know that? Other people's children are looking for an example in you as well. And so maybe you don't have children of your own, and yeah, that can challenge you to say, you know, what kind of an example am I being even to our church kids that are around here? And what kind of an example am I showing? So, dads, moms, parents, let's take this proverb and let's take it to heart today. The best example that we can show our children of Jesus Christ is us, because they live with you every day. You're discipling. You are in a discipleship group with your family. Did you know that? You're in a my group. You know the my groups that we have here are discipleship groups. Your first my group is your family. So for me, I look at that and I say, Lord, help me to give time. Help me to do it right. Help me to prepare. Help me, because I need it, God. I need it every single day. So a challenge to us as dads, a challenge to us as parents, let's live out a Christ-like example for our kids. And yes, that may mean not being so selfish. That may mean putting aside a hobby to be the best example to your kids and your family. That may mean not being in so many activities or so many things, because guess what? Your first church, number one, your first church, your first priority is your family. And so the call for me, the call for you is in this Father's Day is not how can I be a better father? The call is for you is how can you be a better Christian? How can you be more Christ-like? How can you best be like our Heavenly Father? Because if you read about the Heavenly Father in the Word, if you read about the Heavenly Father, He's not all love and daisies and frolicking through the fields of sissiness, right? Is that a word? You see, God is a God of discipline. God is a God of love. The Father is an amazing, amazing, amazing God for us. What an illustration. So fathers in here today, my challenge is not for you to be a better father. My challenge in here today is for you to be a better Christian. Because if you're Christ-like, if you're trying and striving in your relationship with God to say, God, I want to be more like you. I want to be more like your son, Jesus. That whole fatherhood thing, that'll take care of itself. It'll take care of itself. So maybe in here today, you need to set a goal for yourself. Maybe if you're not a goal setter, you just need to challenge yourself to say, I want to be a better dad, and so I'm going to change this about my life. I'm going to read scripture a little bit more. I'm going to pray a little bit more. I'm going to try to have family devotions or whatever it is good for you, whatever works. But my challenge in here is not for you to be simply a better dad. It's to be a better Christian. So this morning, let's let that sink deep. If you need some time with God, if you need just some special time of prayer, and let's just take this during this last song this morning. But we thank you for being here today, dads, and we love you. I want to encourage you today. This isn't a slam on us as men. This is not slamming us as dads. This is an encouragement for us to be moving forward in our faith in Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you chose to use the word father to describe yourself. I mean, you could have chosen any word that you have given us as humans, as your creation. You can choose any word for us to acknowledge you. But for some weird reason, God, you chose the word father for us to identify with you. Thank you for that. Help us in that responsibility as well. So I pray for the fathers in here today, and I'm asking God for your hand of mercy, of forgiveness, of grace to come over our fathers, myself included, God. When we fall short, when we make mistakes, when we yell too much, when we don't love, or when we don't admit we're wrong, we don't ask for forgiveness, God, I just pray for your mercy and your grace. And so, Lord, today, I just want to be a better Christian. I want to be a better godly person so that I know how to love my family more. Take us to the next level, God, not just this sermon, not just as we leave this place. Take us to the next steps, Lord. Just challenge each and every person here today and the next steps that they have to take. Lord, whether it's a small group, discipleship, my group, whether it's a meeting together with some men, I don't know, God, but I just pray that you would challenge people right now in this place to take the next step and not leave this place unchanged. We want to leave changed. And so, Lord, today, we give you our hearts, our lives. We love you today. We love you today.